Hare Krishna. Has the Bhagavad Gita copies been distributed to the ladies' side? Welcome to our Saturday Bhagavad Gita class. So far we have discussed the Gita Mahatmya of Shankaracharya. Seven very wonderful shlokas which glorify the Gita and extol its many wonderful qualities. So the Gita Mahatmya, the last three lectures, serve as a very nice introduction for us to properly understand the Gita itself. So from today, we will begin with the Gita proper from chapter 1. And as we are discussing each chapter, before that, at the beginning, we will recite all the verses from that chapter. So you have this book with you, which has been distributed. Kindly open to chapter 1. The way we will chant the shlokas is, we will chant it all together. Initially, for the first shloka, I will chant alone so that you get to know how, in what melody and in what way, what speed we have to chant. And then from the second shloka onwards, you can chant with me. And in this way, we will chant the whole first chapter. So we will make it a practice at the beginning of every class to recite that chapter. Reciting the verses, purifying, very uplifting, because these words are directly the words of the Supreme Lord Himself, or of His great devotee Arjuna, or sometimes of Sanjaya, who was also a great devotee of the Lord. This is Shabda Brahma, Brahma Vakya, spiritual sound vibration. Therefore, by regularly reciting, we will attain great benefit. The first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is called Arjuna Vishad Yoga, wherein Arjuna observes the armies on the battlefield. In the first 20 verses, Sanjay is describing the scene of the battle. And Duryodhan is trying to appraise the relative strengths of the two armies, the Kauravas and the Pandavas. And then, from verses 27 to 46, we see Arjuna lamenting for the approaching war, and then Arjuna decides not to fight. In between, from 21 to 26, we see Arjuna surveying the armies, and very wonderfully Krishna agreeing to act as a servant of Arjuna, his devotee, and becoming his chariot driver and following his instructions. Arjuna also surveys his friends, relatives, enemies and so on the battlefield. So the Bhagavad Gita, as you all know, is set on a battlefield. And the first chapter is a prelude to the rest of the text. It is a background. So therefore, especially in this first chapter, there will be many references to historical incidents or personalities who are connected with the Mahabharata. So today, as we go along in some of the verses, whenever we come across some of the prominent names, we will try to give some brief historical narration about each of these important personalities. Now, right in the beginning, the scene is in Dhritarashtra's palace in Hastinapur. Dhritarashtra is blind. Not only is he materially blind, but he is also spiritually blind. And
Dhritarashtra wants to know what is going on the battlefield. And Sanjay, his secretary or assistant, is a disciple of Vedavyas. Vedavyas, as we have discussed earlier, is the compiler of all the Vedas and Puranas and Upanishads and the Vedanta. And laterally he also compiled the Mahabharata. And Vedavyas had blessed Sanjay with divine vision. Vyasa prasadat shrutavan. Later on at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Sanjay will acknowledge the mercy of his spiritual master, Vyasadeva. And he will say that by the mercy of my spiritual master, Vyasadeva, I have been able to hear this wonderful conversation and to actually see it in front of my eyes as it occurred. Now, even though Sanjay and Dhritarashtra were sitting in Hastinapur, which was far away from a battlefield at Kurukshetra, still Sanjay was able to observe everything that was going on as if he was personally present on the battlefield. So Dhritarashtra was able to get a running commentary, a live coverage. So there was Doordarshan in those days also. But that Doordarshan was very sophisticated, very fine, very subtle. It did not depend on the electricity or on battery. It didn't depend on any electronic circuits. But it depended on the grace of the Guru upon the disciple. And it depended on the sincere endeavor and the purity of the disciple himself. So Sanjay had been such a disciple. Vedavyas is such a guru. So such a combination was very wonderful. When an ideal guru and an ideal disciple come together, then much benefit can take place for the whole world. So if it wasn't for the combination of Vyas and Sanjay, probably we would not have heard the Bhagavad Gita today. Later as we go on in the text, we will come across another wonderful combination of a guru and a shishya, and that is Lord Krishna and Arjuna. But that we will come to a little later. So in any case, sitting in the palace at Hastinapur, Dhritarashtra is there, seated in front of Sanjaya, and he is asking. So the very first shloka of Bhagavad Gita opens with Dhritarashtra making an inquiry. Dhritarashtra uvacha. And what does he ask? Dharma kshetre kuru kshetre samaveta yutsavaha mamakah pandavaschaiva kim makurvata sanjaya. He says, my dear Sanjay, now mamakah, that is those of my party, that means the Kauravas, and the Pandavas, mamakah pandavaschaiva. So both my party, that is the Kauravas, and Pandu's party, that is the Pandavas, have gathered together. Where have they gathered? Dharma Kshetre, Kuru Kshetre. They haven't gathered at any ordinary place. They have gathered at this most holy place called Kurukshetra, which is a Dharma Kshetra. Samaveta, they have gathered there. In what mood? Have they gathered in a very friendly mood? No. Samaveta, Yuyutsavaha. Yuyutsavaha means in a very hostile mood, in a militaristic spirit. They have gathered there to fight each other and to destroy each other. So then Dhritarashtra is asking Sanjay, the Pandavas and Kauravas, having gathered together in a fighting mood on the battlefield of the holy place of Kurukshetra, kim akurvata, what did they do, my dear Sanjay? So Dhritarashtra, in his heart of hearts, knew that the outcome was a foregone conclusion. But nevertheless, because the Kauravas were his sons, and attachment in this world blinds one's judgment, it clouds one's intelligence, it makes one believe things one should not believe, it makes one think certain things are right which are wrong. So therefore, because of strong attachment for his sons, Dhritarashtra's judgment was clouded. So even though in his heart he was aware that because this battle was being fought on Dharma Kshetra, where those who are pious become stronger, He was doubtful, but still he wanted to ask from Sanjay, please tell me what is going on, what was happening there at this battlefield. From the very beginning, because Dhritarashtra opens with Dharma Kshetra Kurukshetra, we should know that Dhritarashtra already is doubtful. Because he knows that the Kauravas are evil. He knew that his son Duryodhan was an evil man. He knew that the Pandavas were virtuous. But such is the attachment of this world, that one is unable to give up attachment even to one's evil relatives. Very difficult. And one is not able to appreciate the good qualities in one's so-called enemies. This is the way of this world. So Dhritarashtra knew that holy places have a very powerful and strong influence in a positive way upon those who are virtuous. Just as places which are tamasic or evil places have powerful influences upon those who are evil. When a drunkard comes here to this temple, he feels out of place. He feels his strength is gone. He has no enthusiasm. But the moment you mention, come on, let us go to the liquor bar, immediately he is enthused. And when he goes there, he becomes very strong. He is full of enthusiasm and energy. Because that is where he draws his energy and inspiration from. Similarly, devotees of the Lord, when they are outside in the world, they feel very bad. Because the outside world is so materialistic. Everyone is simply selfish. Everyone is simply seeking money and enjoyment. Everyone wants to exploit everyone. No one appreciates the devotees who want to sincerely serve the Lord. They ridicule the devotees, make fun of the devotees. Nobody is interested. So devotees lose their enthusiasm outside. Their batteries get discharged. So very quickly the devotees like to come here to the temple to recharge their spiritual batteries. Because of the influence of such a holy place, like a temple of Lord Krishna, the devotees feel surcharged in their spiritual vibrations. They feel energized. They feel, yes, now I am a devotee again. After having gone out and having been assaulted by the power of Maya, they feel very weak. But when they come here, the influence of this place is so nice that they again feel energized. So Dhritarashtra understood this Kurukshetra is a Dharma Kshetra. It is a very holy place. Kurukshetra is renowned from time immemorial. From millions of years, Kurukshetra has known to be a holy place. Long before, when Parshuram, the son of the great Rishi Jamadagni, killed the Kshatriyas 21 times over because they had begun to exploit people, they were misusing their powers, then Parshuram had killed the Kshatriyas in millions. And in fear of Parshuram, many of the Kshatriyas who were remaining, they fled to different parts of the world and settled down in places like Greece, Germany, Turkey, etc. So most of the Kshatriya races or the military races in other parts of the world are descendants of those who fled from here in fear of Parshuram. Then gradually the language changed and so on. So Parshuram, after having killed for so many days, so many Kshatriyas, then he was advised that he has to atone for his act because he has killed. So then he went to Kurukshetra, which was a holy place, and he meditated there. Until today there is a Brahma Sarovar in Kurukshetra. And there are many holy places related to Lord Parshuram in Kurukshetra. Those of you who have traveled to Haryana, to Kurukshetra, you will see that in Haryana, people are very devoted to Parshuram. Because that is also Parshuram Kshetra. Dakshin Kannada, South Kannada and Karnataka is also called Parshuram Kshetra. Because that is the region that Parshuram reclaimed from the sea. But in any case, Parshuram resided there, performed tapasya for a long time. King Kuru, who was the ancestor of the Kauravas, and a result of whom they got the names Kaurava, which means descendant of Kuru, he also performed many, many pious activities there. Many, many sages and rishis in olden days resided in that area. And it was said that whatever sacrifice or spiritual activity was performed there would never fail. It always yield positive spiritual results. So therefore, this history of Kurukshetra being a Dharma Kshetra was very well known to Dhritarashtra. Therefore, right in the beginning, he was thinking, the battle is taking place in Dharma Kshetra. And the father of Dharma, Lord Krishna, is there, present. And on whose side is he? He is on the side of the children of Dharma. Yudhishthir is the son of Dharmaraj or Yamaraj. Yudhishthir himself was sometimes called Dharmaraj because he was so virtuous. Because the Pandavas always abided by the laws of Dharma or virtue. So therefore, all these symptoms, indications were that the Pandavas would emerge victorious. And Duryodhana knew this. Dhritarashtra knew this. But nevertheless, he had some hope. So he was asking. Srila Prabhupada explains that in this Dharma Kshetra, Kshetra means a field, and in a field sometimes you sow crops. He knew that the wonderful crops of rice or paddy were like the Pandavas, and the Kauravas were like the weeds. The weeds always try to choke up the plants, the main plants. So normally, a farmer has to pull out the weeds. So Krishna, the divine farmer, he was present there, and Dhritarashtra knew that because of Krishna's presence, all these weed-like Kauravas would be rooted, they would be routed. So this is the background now. And having said this, now Sanjay is describing. Sanjay Uvacha Drishtvatu Pandavanekam Vyudham Duryodhanastada Acharyam Upasangamya Raja Vachanam Abravid. Sanjay said, Drishtvatu Pandavanekam. So Duryodhan was looking over the armies of the Pandavas. And having seen the full military formation, he went to Dronacharya, who was his teacher. Because Dronacharya was the commander-in-chief of the entire military force of the Kauravas. Just as Dhrishtadyumna, the son of Drupad, was the commander-in-chief of the Pandava army, Dronacharya was the commander-in-chief of the Kaurava army. So it is customary that the king, he goes to his commander-in-chief just to motivate him, to enthuse him. So also Duryodhan, as Sanjay is describing to Dhritarashtra, went towards Dronacharya to address him. Please note that at this stage, both the Pandavas and Kauravas are standing there, their arms upraised, ready for battle. They are facing each other, patiently waiting for the time when it will be announced that the battle is to begin. In these days, there is no such etiquette or norms or code of conduct in battle. Nowadays, anything goes. There is terrorist violence, people throw bombs and run away. Now, this kind of fighting would have been considered very cowardly according to the ancient Kshatriya codes. A Kshatriya can never fight with anybody who doesn't see him. I cannot fight with an unseen enemy. If the enemy cannot see me, then I should not attack him. Not only that, even if the enemy is in front of me, but if he doesn't have arms, or if he has surrendered to me, then I should not attack him. So many times in the descriptions, in the Shastras we hear of valiant Kshatriyas, even those who are evil Kshatriyas, even they follow this conduct. That when the opponent's weapon fell down to the ground, they would hand over another weapon and say, okay, you don't have a weapon, you take this weapon and then we will fight on equal terms. And there was such etiquette even in the battle of Kurukshetra. After all, it was a family war. Just like World War I in this century was actually a family war, because all the kings of Europe were related, some family relation or the other. So here it was a very intimate family war. And they all very well. You see, a Kshatriya He loves to fight in battle. Now it doesn't matter so much to him on which side he fights, but so long as he fights. But once he chooses a side and the battle begins, then after that, then he cannot change.
So this was the etiquette. But nowadays we find all kinds of things happening. So they would start the battle at early morning, soon after sunrise, and then the battle would rage all day long till sunset. And once it was sunset, the battle would stop. And they would become friends once again, and they would return to their respective camps. Many times, the soldiers of the opposing sides would visit each other, and they would talk with each other. They would have discussions with each other. And at that time, no one would raise an arm against the enemy. The morning by sunrise, when they gathered together, they would face each other on the battlefield. Again, they were fit and ready for fighting each other and killing each other. Such were the etiquettes in warfare at that time. Genuine warriors, genuine kshatriyas. So in any case, all this time, the Pandavas and Kauravas with both their armies are facing each other. They are waiting for the generals to start and blow the conch shell to indicate that the battle is going to start. So Duryodhan, as a preliminary, he is walking up to his military teacher. And he wanted to ask Dronacharya certain questions. He wanted to actually motivate Dronacharya, because he knew that Dronacharya had a soft corner for the Pandavas. Because Arjuna was his favorite student. And no one was as good a student as Arjuna. And naturally, a teacher is always partial towards that student who is very good, who has learned very well from what the teacher has taught. So in this way, Duryodhan wanted to make sure, being a very clever politician, he wanted to make sure that Dronacharya's loyalties would remain in the right place. So he went up to Duryodhan, to Dronacharya, and what did he say? Pashyaitam Panduputranam Acharya Mahatim Chamom Vyudham Drupada Putrena Tavashishena Dhimata. O my teacher, behold the great army of the sons of Pandu, so expertly arranged by your intelligent disciple, the son of Drupada. Pashyaitam Panduputranam Acharya Mahatim Chamom Vyudham Drupada Putrena. He is specifically calling Drishtadyumna as Drupada Putra. Now there is a history to this. Very deliberately, very cleverly, Duryodhan is using the word Drupada Putra instead of Drishtadyumna. The history is as follows. Dronacharya and King Drupad, they were childhood friends. They had gone to the same Gurukul as young boys. It was common in those days. It could be a king's son, it could be a poor Brahman's son. Often they would attend the same Gurukul. So they became very close friends. And as time went by and they grew up, they left the Gurukul and departed for their respective professions. Dronacharya was a Brahmana, so he went on with his Brahmanical work. Drupad was a prince, so he went on and soon became the king of the land. Dronacharya got married. He was married to Kripi, who was a sister of Kripacharya. And they had a child also, whose name was Ashwatthama. But the family was very poor. One time, having no milk in the house even, somehow somebody else mixed some flour powder in some milk and in some water and gave it, and Ashwatthama came back with great joy saying that I have drunk milk. And when Dronacharya heard this, his heart was struck with sorrow. So he decided, I am so poor that I cannot even feed my child milk. Anyway, let me go to my old friend King Drupad and beg in charity one cow. And if I keep a cow, then I can give ample milk for my family. So he entered the court of King Drupad, announced himself. In those days, Brahmanas could walk into any king's court without restriction. So when he announced himself and said, "My dear King Drupad, I am your old friend, Drona, from our Gurukul days. You will remember that you had promised me half the kingdom when we were together. And this is a fact." In one moment of friendly intimacy, Drupad, out of love for his friend, as a child, he had told Drona that when I become king, then I will give you half my kingdom. So Drona had remembered this childhood promise. So when Drupad was reminded about it, Drupad reacted in a different way. Drupad said, "What? I don't recognize you. Who are you? And what do you mean to say that we are friends? Friendship can take place only amongst equals, not amongst people like you and me who are so different. So please go away from here." So Drona was very, very insulted. So then he took a vow that somehow I will see that I will destroy this King Drupad, who has become so proud because of his position that he has forgotten his old poor friend and forgotten his childhood promise. So then he performed a yajna. And from this yajna, he had told the Brahmanas that he wanted a son who could eventually kill Drona, or kill Drupad. And then his son was born, whose name was Drishtadyumna. And along with also there was a daughter whose name was Draupadi. So Draupadi and Drishtadyumna were siblings, brother and sister. And the very purpose of Drishtadyumna's birth was to avenge for the insult caused I beg your pardon, I have just told it in the wrong sequence. When Drona came back, then he was seething with anger. And eventually he always remembered this hurt in his mind. And soon one day he got employment with the princes of the kingdom of Hastinapur. One time as Drona was traveling, he saw that these young Kaurava and Pandava princes, they were trying to retrieve a ball from a well. And Dronacharya came there and he laughed. He said, "You are all princes and you do not even know how to bring out a simple ball from a well." So what did Drona do? He just took a blade of grass and he chanted a mantra and threw it down and it struck the ball. He took another blade of grass and did the same, and the second blade struck the first one. And in this way he made a chain of blades of grass. It became a rope and he pulled out the ball from the well. The Kaurava and Pandava princes were astonished. They immediately thanked him, took the ball, and went running back to report the matter to Bhishma Dev. When Bhishma Dev asked for this man's appearance, he said, "Yes, this can only be Drona. Nobody else has such power." So then he immediately called for Dronacharya and requested them to be the military teacher for his grandsons, that is the Kauravas and the Pandavas. And Dronacharya began to teach these princes. And gradually they became older in age, they became young men, and the time came for them to give Guru Dakshina. So they asked him, "My dear Gurudev, what can we give you as Guru Dakshina?" So Drona replied, "Capture King Drupad and bring him here to me." So the Kauravas offered to do it first. Duryodhan and his brothers went. But Drupad defeated them. And the Kauravas came back with their heads hanging in shame. Then Arjuna said, "I will do it for you." So Arjuna went, and behind him were all the Pandavas. And Arjuna fought with King Drupad, captured him, bound him with ropes, and brought him at the feet of his guru, Dronacharya. Dronacharya was very happy. And he told Drupad, "Now you are my prisoner, you are my property, your whole kingdom is my property. Do you remember the insult that you had heaped to me? But nevertheless, I will be fair. I will not take your whole kingdom. I will only take half your kingdom, since that was your promise. I don't want you to follow the path of adharma. Somehow you have to give me your half kingdom, and this is the way I have done it. So Draupad was also completely humiliated now. So he went back, and in his mind, he was thinking of revenge. So then he did this yajna, and in that, Drishtadyumna and Draupadi were born. Draupadi also was born, and by her birth, it was destined that she would be the cause of the killing of many, many Kshatriyas. And that's a fact. And Drishtadyumna was born with the express purpose of killing King Draupad, of killing Dronacharya. So finally, when Drishtadyumna was born to King Draupad, Draupad was very intelligent. He knew that the best military teacher was Dronacharya, who was his enemy. So how can you send your son to your enemy to be his student? But Dronacharya was a Brahmin, and a Brahmin cannot refuse anyone education. So therefore, deliberately, Draupad sent his son Drishtadyumna to his enemy, Dronacharya. And Dronacharya, knowing fully well who is Drishtadyumna, for what purpose he has been born, he accepted him as a student, and he taught him very sincerely. This is the nature of Brahmanas of the earlier ages. So he understood that Drishtadyumna was going to be the cause of his death, and that the very subjects that he was going to teach Drishtadyumna, Drishtadyumna would use that to kill him. He knew it, but he was bound by his duty as a teacher, therefore he taught. So therefore, Duryodhan also knew this whole history, this background. So he wanted to incite the anger of Drona. So when he came up with Drona on the battlefield, and he was saying, Acharya Mahatim Chamom, so my dear Acharya, my dear Dronacharya, here is, he could have said Drishtadyumna, but he said, no, the son of Draupad. He wanted to bring the name Draupad in Drona's ears, because Drona's blood would start boiling on hearing the name Draupad. See, and this army has been arranged by your son, Vyudham Draupada Putrena. So Duryodhan is just trying to be a little sarcastic. He's trying to poke into Dronacharya's heart, and he's trying to tell him, see, you were very lenient, you were very liberal, and you taught your own enemy's son the art of warfare, and now he is the commander-in-chief there. He has made all this military arrangement, and he is going to be the cause of your death. So in a hidden way, Dronacharya, now please don't be so liberal anymore. Now it's a matter of life and death. So you have to fight. You are commander-in-chief of the army of the Kauravas. So remember, he is your enemy. So fight to kill your enemy. So Duryodhan was very, very diplomatic. And then Duryodhan now begins to describe to Dronacharya the various valiant warriors in that army of the Pandavas. Atra Shura Maheshwasa Bhima Arjuna Samayudhi Yudhana Viratascha Drupadascha Maharathaha. Here in this army, that is of the Pandavas, are many heroic bowmen equal in fighting to Bhima and Arjuna, great fighters like Yudhana, Virat and Drupad. So even though Drishtadyumna was not a very great obstacle in the face of Dronacharya's very great military power, but Duryodhan still knows that there are many, many great powerful warriors on the side of the Pandavas. So he takes their name here. And whose name does he take first? Bhima. Because Bhima was very, very powerful. In warfare, Arjuna was far more skilled than Bhima. But in sheer power, there was no equal to Bhima. And Duryodhan knew very well that he had only one equal in fighting, especially with the mace, the gada,
and that was Bhima. Both Bhima and Duryodhan had been trained in bow fighting by Lord Balaram, the brother of Lord Krishna. Balaram is an expert bow fighter, is a mace fighter. So therefore, Duryodhan knew that if at all he had to die in this battle, it would be at the hands of Bhima.
Because he knew what was Bhima's power, and not only that,
he knew how angry Bhima was. When Bhima became angry, nobody could tolerate it. Nobody could be in his presence. He was extremely powerful when
he was angry.
Bhima had taken three vows before the battle of Kurukshetra. The first vow that Bhima had taken was that I will personally kill all the 100 sons of Dhritarashtra with my own hands.
And many times the other Pandavas, they had a chance in the course of the 18 days of the battle to kill some of the sons of Dhritarashtra.
But deliberately they avoided, just in order to leave them for Bhima to kill later on. Because they wanted Bhima to be able to keep his vow. So they did not interfere with that. So they let the other brothers go. And eventually Bhima killed them one by one by one. And as he would kill them, he would dance like a madman in frenzy on the battlefield. And sometimes he would take out their blood. Such was his feeling of hate for the Kauravas, for so many reasons that you know well. The second vow that he had taken before the battle of Kurukshetra was that I will break Duryodhana's thigh. Why? Because at the time when Draupadi was being disrobed in the assembly of King Dhritarashtra, at that time Duryodhana had actually very vulgarly gestured to Draupadi to come and sit on his thigh. At that time Bhima had swore that this very thigh that you are gesturing with right now, I will break with my mace in the battlefield. And I swear this, he had sworn this in front of all the people there. So Duryodhana knew that once Bhima took a vow, it would be very difficult to keep him away. And Bhima had vowed to kill Duryodhana. And the third vow that he had taken was that he would tear open Dushasana's chest. Because Dushasana was the one who had held Draupadi by her hair and pulled her. And Draupadi had said that I will not tie my hair till the hair is washed with the blood of Dushasana. See, such were the Kshatriya times. Such were those times that when we hear of these things, our blood curdles. But such were the Kshatriyas in those days. So Bhima took a vow that I will tear open Dushasana's chest. And he actually did that in the course of the battle. And he scooped out his blood in his palms and actually took it to Draupadi for her hair. And then his thirst for revenge was satiated. This was Bhima's nature. He was so powerful and so aggressive. A Kshatriya never fears blood. Therefore, Kshatriyas always were eager for battle. Just like a sportsman is always eager to go into the sports field. Similarly, a Kshatriya, his hands are always itching. When can I go to fight? He doesn't get afraid of the battlefield. So Duryodhana knew this very well. So he mentioned Bhima's name first. And then he mentioned Arjuna's name. Because Arjuna was the most talented person in the Pandava army. Of course, Bhishma was there in the Kaurava side. Karna was there. And Karna at times was very powerful. But Arjuna had on several occasions defeated Karna. Many times. And Arjuna had also got weapons from Lord Shiva. He had even fought with Lord Shiva personally. Arjuna had gone to the king, to heaven, to the heavenly planets, to the darbar of King Indra, who was his father. And Indra had also blessed him with many weapons. So in this way, he very well also knew what was Arjuna's power. So Duryodhana very categorically is making all these references. Yudhano Viratascha Drupadascha Maharathaha. Also King Virat.
King Virat was the king of Matsya. And his daughter Uttara became the wife of the son of Abhimanyu, called King Parikshit. Or became King Abhimanyu's wife was Uttara. Because in the 13th year of exile, that was the condition that the Kauravas had put to the Pandavas, that for 13 years you will be in exile, for 12 years you may wander anywhere you like, even if people see you, there is no problem, but in the 13th year, you must wander unseen. If ever you are spotted in the 13th year, that yes, here are the Pandavas, then your 13 years of exile will again start from that point. So you have to go again into 13 years of exile. So in that last 13th year, they were incognito. So and in this 13th year, they came to the kingdom of King Virat. And they all took up different camouflages. Bhima became the cook in King Virat's court. Arjuna became a dance teacher. Sahadev, he became the keeper of the cows. And so on. So they all accepted different occupations in the court just to hide themselves so that nobody could notice. And Draupadi became the maid servant of the queen. So in this way, the Arjuna had become the dance teacher of the daughter of King Virat, who was Uttara. And eventually, being like a student or a disciple, she was like a daughter. So Arjuna eventually married his son Abhimanyu to Uttara. And from Uttara and Abhimanyu was born a great son, Maharaj Parikshit. That's another story in itself. So for the whole year, actually, the Pandavas resided in the kingdom of King Virat, who gave them shelter, not knowing who they were. In this way, Duryodhan is beginning to list out some of the powerful heroes there. He also mentions others like Drishtiketu, Chekitana, Kashiraj, Purujit, Kuntibhoja, Shaibya. There were millions and millions of powerful warriors on either side. There were more than 18 million soldiers on either side. And fighting, the number of soldiers killed, the world has never seen. That many soldiers were killed on one battlefield. It is not like a small battlefield. Sometimes when you read your school history, you may think of Battle of Haldi Ghati, where Rana Pratap may have fought somebody. It was like maybe several times a football field. But Kurukshetra battlefield was not like that. There were millions of soldiers. And they were driving chariots and horses on this battlefield with great speed. And it was taking time for them to reach from one part to another part. So you can imagine for how many square kilometers or miles this whole battlefield was spread. And so once the battle started, it was such a terrible sight. There were always hands and legs and bodies being thrown here and there. Blood was flowing like in rivers. People were screaming and shouting in agony. There were battle cries going on. There is such a graphic description of the battle, of the 18 days of battle in the Mahabharata. Sometimes it's difficult to go through the details of the descriptions of the battle. Sometimes you see heroism, sometimes you see great violence, sometimes you see great cruelty, gory descriptions of the battle. And then Duryodhana is still continuing to describe those in the party of the Pandavas. Yudha manyuscha vikranta uttamojascha viryavan saubhadra daupadeyascha sarva eva maharatha. There are the mighty Yudhamanyu, the very powerful Uttamoja, the son of Subhadra, and the sons of Draupadi. All these warriors are great chariot fighters. Subhadra was a sister of Krishna. She was also the daughter of Vasudev, who was Krishna's father. And Subhadra was married to Arjuna. When Arjuna came to Dwarka, he decided to marry Subhadra. Krishna agreed with him, but Krishna knew that Balaram was looking for some other match for Subhadra. So Krishna knew that Balaram is my elder brother, and usually the elder brother's opinion is more powerful than the younger brother. So he said, if you directly go and speak to Balaram, he may not accept it. Therefore, the best way is to kidnap Subhadra. So Krishna advised Arjuna to kidnap his own sister and take her away. There are 8 forms of marriages according to the Veda. And this is one form of marriage where the lady is abducted by the Kshatriya prince forcefully in the midst of her family members. So he has to show his valor and his bravery at that spot. In the midst of all of them, he has to take her away, and then he has to fight with anybody else who comes to fight. And if he still emerges victorious, then he is eligible for the hands of that lady. Even as much as 500 years ago, it was the Rana Pratap or Prithviraj Chauhan, and what was her name? Samyukta. Yes, so that form of marriage was allowed for Kshatriyas. But nowadays, nobody is Kshatriya. Kalau Shudra Sambhavaha. So, we should follow the normal routes for getting married if and when we have to get married. But in those days for Kshatriyas, these things were very much part of the game, the Swayamvara ceremony and so on. In fact, Krishna himself followed this many times. He also abducted Rukmini from her place because Rukmini's brother Shishupal or Rukmini wanted Rukmini to be married to Shishupal. But Rukmini did not want it, so she sent a secret letter through a Brahmana to Krishna that please come and rescue me. So Krishna came when she was on the way to the temple, and in front of everyone's eyes he just lifted her from the ground, put her on the horse and sped away. And all the other suitors were there, Shishupal was there, and they all started chasing, and a fierce battle ensued, and then Krishna defeated all the warriors and took away Rukmini. So in this way Subhadra became the wife of Arjun, and their son was Abhimanyu. So she was very, very distressed when Abhimanyu was killed. And you all know the story of how Abhimanyu was killed in an unfair manner. And somehow, because there was his son, Abhimanyu's son, in his wife's womb, Uttara's womb, King Parikshit, to some extent Subhadra's sorrow was reduced. And also, here there is reference to the sons of Draupadi. Draupadi had received a vow, I had received a benediction from Lord Shiva, that she would have 5 husbands. Normally, in the Vedic culture, the Kshatriyas were allowed to marry more than one wife. But very, very rarely indeed, do we find in Vedic culture that the reverse took place, that one lady married more than one husband. But this was very remarkable and unusual thing. It didn't happen very often. And the history behind it is also there in the Mahabharata. I'm sure many of you knew it. So in any case, with the 5 Pandavas, she bore 1 son each. And these 5 sons of Draupadi were also very valiant warriors. And it so happened that when Dronacharya was killed on the battlefield, not when he was fighting, but Dronacharya was killed by subterfuge, by a conspiracy. Because Krishna knew that Dronacharya could not be killed by any other means except this. So, he made Yudhishthir tell a lie. Dronacharya heard that Ashwatthama is dead, of course. At that time, Yudhishthir softly said, Kunjarova, he mentioned elephant. But Dronacharya didn't hear that. Drona was very attached to his son Ashwatthama. And when he heard that Ashwatthama is dead, he lost the desire to live. So he got off his rath, his chariot. Right there in the battlefield, he sat down to meditate.
And at that time, Krishna gave instruction, kill him. And then his head was cut. And Ashwatthama was extremely furious to hear this. And when Dronacharya was killed in this way, Ashwatthama also decided to do something very, very unfair. So, he killed the 5 sleeping sons of Draupadi at night when they were sleeping, which was unheard of. I just mentioned earlier that they would stop fighting at sunset and become friends. And morning again they would start fighting as fierce enemies. So, Ashwatthama broke this rule. He actually went in into the camps when they were sleeping and then he killed them. And because of this, Arjuna actually raced after him with great anger. And he said to Draupadi, I will not rest till I have brought the head of Ashwatthama to you. And when Ashwatthama saw that Arjuna is coming racing towards him, he became very frightened. He raced as much as he could with his horses, but soon the horses became tired. So what to do? He was desperate. So he did the ultimate thing that he could. He had the most powerful weapon, the Brahmastra. So he let loose the Brahmastra weapon. And all of a sudden, it was as if some sun had entered there. The radiance, the shining was unbearable. Arjuna could not understand what had happened. So he took refuge of Lord Krishna. Please explain what is going on. It looks as if 1,000 suns have come here attacking me. So Krishna says, this is the Brahmastra that has been released by the son of Drona. The only way to counteract it is for you to release another Brahmastra. So Arjuna released his own Brahmastra. The 2 Brahmastras collided and the explosion was so powerful like the collision of 1,000,000 suns. And then the whole universe shook by the fury of that explosion. And then Arjuna arrested Ashwatthama and brought him back. But Draupadi was very soft-hearted. And she said that Drona, our guru, has to be respected. He is no more physically, but it is said that the father lives in the form of his son. So therefore killing the son means killing the father. So therefore we should not kill Ashwatthama. So Arjuna was very perplexed. Bhima was saying, kill him right now. Bhima was always in that mood. And Yudhishthira was always saying, no, no, don't. Yudhishthira was always in peaceful mood. Yudhishthira was saying, no, no, I agree with Draupadi, it is correct. So always Yudhishthira was at one end of the opinion and Bhima was at the other end of the opinion. Every day in their exile, this was a regular story. All the Pandavas would be having daily arguments. And every time, the Pandavas, especially even Draupadi, Bhima, and sometimes Arjuna, but not always, they would blame Yudhishthira. It is just because of you that we are in this position. It is only because you gambled, only because you did this, only because you are so soft-hearted. And then Draupadi would scold Yudhishthira. You are a Kshatriya, but whole day you are sitting with these priests hearing scriptures, whereas you are neglecting it, I have been insulted in this way. And Yudhishthira would say, everything has its time, everything will come. If you do now, the time is not right, victory will not be ours. I am a Kshatriya, I know that I have to fight, but fighting has to be done at the proper time and in accordance with the principles of Dharma, not against. Right now I am bound by the 13 years exile period. I should not disobey this law of Dharma. And somehow this daily thing was going on. But still, in spite of all the arguments, at the end of the day, whatever Yudhishthira said, they would all agree. They would obey to the last word. They respected Yudhishthira, they loved Yudhishthira. And they knew that whatever we may argue with him, but ultimately we will do whatever he says. Even if he asks us to jump into the fire, we will jump. So this was a wonderful relationship between all the Pandavas. So in any case, here also, Bhima was very angry. He was saying, immediately kill him. And Yudhishthira was saying, no, 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 Draupadi is right. Initially Draupadi was saying he should be killed, but later Draupadi softened. She said, no, he's like a Brahmana. How can we kill a Brahman? And Yudhishthira said, yes, she's right.
So Arjuna was in a fix what to do. So he looked at Krishna. So Krishna again gave a solution. And then what did Arjuna do? Arjuna cut off half the mustache and half the hair from the head of Ashwatthama. And in this way, taking off the hair in this humiliating fashion is as good as killing a person. So therefore, Arjuna killed him, at the same time he did not kill him. So in this way, somehow or the other, Ashwatthama was released for this heinous crime that he had performed of killing the five sleeping sons of Draupadi. Later on, the same Ashwatthama, he threw another Brahmastra to attack the son of Subhadra, or the son of Uttara, that is Parikshit, when he was in the womb of his mother. But somehow, by Lord Krishna's grace, Uttara prayed to Lord Krishna, and Lord Krishna protected the child Parikshit in the womb. Ashwatthama survived the battle of Kurukshetra. In fact, when Ashwatthama killed the five sleeping sons of Draupadi and he brought their heads to Duryodhan, Duryodhan was at that time lying in a battlefield about to die. He had already been hit by Bhima on the thigh. Bhima had fulfilled his vow. And Duryodhan was in the last moments of his life. And at that time, Ashwatthama took these five heads to Duryodhan, thinking that Duryodhan would be pleased. But Duryodhan actually, according to Srimad Bhagavat, was not pleased. He said, "Ashwatthama, you have done a great crime. This is against the principles of Kshatriya warfare." So even though Duryodhan was such an evil man, but he also respected the etiquette of warfare. He said, "You have done very nice, very, very wrong thing." And then he passed away, unhappy to see the act of Ashwatthama. So these five sons of Draupadi and the sons of Subhadra were also very, very great fighters. And here, Duryodhana is describing all of them. And now, Duryodhana says, "Now it is time to understand the Kaurava army. We have surveyed the strength of the Pandava army. Let us now study the strength of our own army." Asmakam tu visheshtaye tani bodha dvijottama nayakamam sanyasya sanyartham tam bravumite. "But for your information, O best of the Brahmanas, let me tell you about the captains who are especially qualified to lead my military force." So Duryodhan tells Dronacharya, "My dear Acharya, so far I have described the army of our enemies. Now let me describe the great valiant captains and commanders of our own army."
"Bhavan bhishmascha karnascha kripascha sandhitinjayah ashwatthama vikarnascha saumadattis tathaivacha."
"My dear Acharya, there are personalities like you, like Bhishma, Karna, Kripa, Ashwatthama, Vikarna, and the son of Somadatta called Bhurishrava, who are always victorious in battle." So Duryodhana is now naming the chief leaders of his own army. And foremost among them is Dronacharya. Actually, Bhishma was also very powerful. But Duryodhana, being intelligent, he mentioned Drona first, because Drona was a Brahmin. So a Kshatriya had always a sense of honor. So if Duryodhana had mentioned any other Kshatriya's name apart from Bhishma first, Bhishma would have got offended. At the same time, Dronacharya was also very senior, their own guru. He could not disrespect him. But he thought that since Drona is a Brahmana, and a Kshatriya always offers respects to a Brahmana, therefore Bhishma will not mind. Therefore, he mentioned Drona's name first. He also wanted to encourage his own commander-in-chief, Dronacharya, that "You are the most powerful warrior in our army, Bhishma." Bhishma, as you know, was so powerful And he was also a great yogi. He had the power of Ichhamaran. He could select the time of his passing away. And even after he had been defeated, he lay on his bed of arrows for Uttarayan to take place, for the auspicious constellations to come, so that he could depart from his body just at the right time that is prescribed in the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita for yogis to depart. He actually was a great devotee of Lord Krishna, and he wanted to depart from this world with Lord Krishna in front of him. After the battle was over, Yudhishthir, along with the Pandavas and Lord Krishna, came to the battlefield where Bhishma was lying. He offered his respects to Bhishma, and Bhishma, even as he was lying on the bed of arrows, gave wonderful instructions to King Yudhishthir on how a king should rule the kingdom, on Niti Shastra. And in this way, much instruction is there in Mahabharata, and even in a summarized form in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And when Bhishma was thirsty, Arjuna shot his arrow into the ground, and Ganges water flowed from that into the mouth of Bhishma. Ganga was, after all, the mother of Bhishma. So Bhishma did not have a problem securing Ganga water. And this way, his eyes fixed on the beautiful form of Lord Krishna, Bhishma Dev departed from this world. So Bhishma Dev was by far the most powerful warrior on the whole battlefield. Next only, of course, to Krishna, because Krishna is God himself. But amongst the others, there was no one as powerful as Bhishma. And later on we are going to see how Duryodhana is depending so much on Bhishma's presence in his army. And then he is also mentioning Karna. Karna, as you all know, was the first son of Kunti. He was born of Kunti before her marriage. Kunti had served Durvasa Muni very nicely, and Durvasa Muni had offered her a boon that if you chant this mantra, then you can invoke any of the devatas and they will come and fulfill any desire you have. So being a little childish at that time, being immature in age, one day she thought of this benediction from Durvasa Muni, and she said, why not test it out? Let me chant this mantra. And she was looking out and saw the sun. Okay, let me call the sun god. Let me see if this mantra works. She chanted the mantra, and the sun god came right before her in a flash of a moment. And she became very frightened when she saw the mantra has worked, Suri Dev is here. And she said, no, I made a mistake, I'm sorry, please go. I only chanted innocently as a child, I didn't know the meaning. So Suri Dev said, no, the mantra chanted can never go in vain, so I must give you a son. So she said, how can I take a son? The whole society will criticize me. I'm not even married, how is this possible? He said, no. If I don't, then the devis and devatas will laugh at me, because I have been called for nothing. So in Mahabharata, we see this conversation going on. And Suri says, no, when a deva is called, he has to fulfill the purpose. You have called me, but the same way, I give you the benediction that your maidenhood will be retained. And so, Karna was born. This child was born. And he was very unusual. He was born with bangles and earrings and a kavacha. Kavach means a shield. And Kunti was so afraid, he was born instantly. In the Devaloka, children are born instantly. They don't have to go through the through the labor pains, and they don't have to stay 9 months in the mother's womb. Immediately they are born. So Kunti, at that time, she asked a maidservant to put the child in a basket, and she floated the basket down the river. She was very remorseful, but what to do? She had no choice at that time. So, as the child floated down the river, there was a charioteer of the Suta caste called Adhiratha who saw this child, and he picked up this child from the river and took him back home to his wife, whose name was Radha. Therefore, Karna is sometimes called Radheya. And both of them were overjoyed because they had been praying to God for a son, because they had been childless for a long time. And thus they accepted this boy as their son. And he was a very liberal child. He was very liberal in giving charity to Brahmanas. And when he grew up, somehow or the other, he came to the assembly hall, the Swayamvar, where Draupadi's marriage was to take place. And Draupadi suspected that Karna may defeat Arjuna. She did not want to get married to Karna. She only wanted to get married to Arjuna. So she told her brother Dhrishtadyumna, please make the announcement that I cannot marry anyone less than Kshatriya caste. Arjuna had come disguised as a Brahman. Brahman caste is supposed to be higher than Kshatriya caste. Whereas Karna was born from Suta caste. At least his parents were there. So Dhrishtadyumna announced, and Karna became very angry, and from that day on he nursed a very, very revengeful feeling against the Pandavas. And particularly he was happy at the disrobing of Draupadi. And he was the one who instructed Dushasan to drag her. And at this time, Karna, when he was humiliated in so many ways, but Duryodhan protected him. And he actually made him king of Angadesh, so that he would become a Kshatriya. And now he was on par with the other Kshatriyas, and nobody could say that he's not a Kshatriya. And anyway, each character, one can go on, there's so much to say about each character. But Karna eventually, he heard when Kunti told him before the battle the reality of who he was. Karna's heart was very heavy. But he said, my loyalty to Duryodhan is unquestionable. I cannot give up my loyalty to Duryodhan at any cost. But Kunti anyway extracted a promise from him that at least you will not kill Arjuna. That you must promise me. So Karna promised, okay, I will not kill Arjuna. And then Karna himself was killed by Arjuna when his chariot was stuck in the mud. And Krishna says, okay, other times you will not be able to kill him. Now is the time, shoot. Arjuna was hesitating. He said, shoot, shot, and kill Karna. So Krishna's actions are oftentimes inconceivable. We cannot understand how Krishna orders so many things at so many times. So that was Karna. Karna did not like Bhishma. And he said, so long as Bhishma is there on the battlefield as commander-in-chief, I will not enter the battle. So it was only when Bhishma was felled by Shikhandi and by Arjuna that Karna entered the battlefield. And then he became the commander-in-chief of the Kaurava army. We have to discuss, but now, so now we will just have darshan at 8:15, and then we'll continue for 2-3 minutes more, and then next time we will continue with the other verses of chapter 1. Thank you very much. This is a very beautiful darshan, the same darshan that we will have tomorrow morning at 4:30. So this Shayan darshan, just before the Lord goes to take rest. It's a very, very nice darshan. So all of you are welcome to come every day if you like to take this darshan. So I will just finish this particular verse which I was doing. Just 2-3 more personalities very briefly we will talk about. So we have an idea of the people being discussed here. The next person Arjuna mentions, Duryodhan mentions, is Kripacharya, Kripa. Kripacharya was also another guru of the Pandavas. He and his twin sister Kripi were found in the forest. They were brought by Bhishma, and then with the proper sanskaras he was made into a Brahman. He was very learned, and he also was a teacher of the Pandavas. And even though he fought on the side of the Kauravas, and he was also part of the group that killed Abhimanyu, still the Pandavas had respect for him. And even after the battle was over, Kripacharya was one of the survivors from the Kaurava side. And even before, when the Pandavas were in exile, Dhritarashtra had requested Kripacharya to be the guide for the Pandavas in the forest. And after the battle was over, Kripacharya continued to remain in good favor with the Pandavas. When King Parikshit was born, it was Kripacharya who came and chanted so many Vedic mantras. And when King Yudhishthir and the Pandavas renounced the kingdom to go into the Himalayas, into the forest, it was again Kripacharya who was asked to be the guru of the newly installed king, King Parikshit. So Kripacharya therefore has a very special place in the Mahabharata history. Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama also we have just heard. He was the son of Drona. And Ashwatthama is still living. He is one of the Chiranjivis. Incognito, but we do not know where he is. He will be there till the end of this yuga and continue on in the next yuga. He will reveal himself in Satya Yuga. Vikarna. Vikarna is one of the 100 brothers of Duryodhan. Vikarna was not, although a powerful warrior, but not one of the most powerful warriors. So the question arises, why Duryodhan would mention Vikarna's name here? He was not among the most outstanding of the warriors. So why did Duryodhan mention his name? Because at the time when Draupadi was insulted in the court, among all the brothers, it was only Vikarna who actually protested. So Duryodhan was doubtful of his loyalty. So he wanted to diplomatically include him in the same group as Bhishma, Karna and so on, so that Duryodhan would feel more encouraged, so that he would think that yes, my valor is being appreciated. So therefore, Vikarna's name was being mentioned here, even though he was not among that category of warriors. The son of Somadatta called Bhurishrava. Bhurishrava and his brother Shalya also fought on behalf of the Kauravas. They were also present at the Swayamvar ceremony of Draupadi. And when all the Kauravas became very angry that Arjuna had won the hand of Draupadi, it was Bhurishrava who cautioned them that no, Arjuna is a suitable warrior, is a suitable husband for Draupadi. But nevertheless, he fought on the side of the Kauravas. He fought against Satyaki, and personally he killed the 10 sons of Satyaki, and eventually Satyaki himself. So he also perished in the battle of Kurukshetra. So there are so many such exalted personalities, very, very powerful personalities coming in the Mahabharata. Each of them is such a powerful character that there are pages and pages and pages about each person. We don't necessarily have to know everything about everyone. But since here it is appearing in the Bhagavad Gita in this context, it helps us to appreciate the context in which the Bhagavad Gita is spoken. And these names are being mentioned here, so therefore a brief introduction to these personalities is always helpful. So we will conclude here, and from next time we will continue with the assessment of his own army by Duryodhan. Thank you very much. Are there any questions that you have? Mysteries are the ways of the Lord. The question is, why is Ashwatthama Chiranjeevi, even though he has done so many things? Krishna himself also arranged for many things which were not exactly in line with the current morality of Kshatriya warfare. And even Kripacharya was one of those who unfairly killed Abhimanyu, but the Pandavas still respected him. So therefore all we can say is that this is all part of a larger divine plan. That the whole Mahabharata, the whole battle of Kurukshetra was simply a divine plan for the elimination of sinful people of this world. The military forces had become too powerful. So it was Lord Krishna's plan to bring them all together at one stroke and finish them all off. And he had his own plan for the continuation in the future. And he anticipated that this Mahabharata war being end of Dwapara Yuga and Kali Yuga, everything will deteriorate. And at Satya Yuga, a new beginning must take place. So in his wisdom he has selected Ashwatthama for this purpose. He was a son of Dronacharya, that was his qualification. What are the lessons to be learned from today's class? Several lessons we can learn, but very few that we should apply. Certainly we should not apply Bhima's behavior. Certainly we need not take vows like Bhima. But we are given a glimpse into the way of life in those days. We are given a deeper understanding of what a Kshatriya mind is like, what Kshatriya life was like, what the battle for Dharma was like, and how a king should be willing to do anything for upholding Dharma. Yudhishthira Maharaj did not like it one bit to be fighting this horrible war. Arjuna did not like it either. But because it was Krishna's will and instruction that they had to do it for the sake of Dharma, so they fought. So the lesson for us here, among so many other lessons, is that we should not shy away from a battle. Battle, I don't mean just a physical battle. A battle, I mean that we are up against so many strong forces today. The forces of materialism, atheism, so many other forces are there to destroy Dharma. So we should become spiritually very strong, individually and collectively, to be able to battle these forces, so that eventually the whole society will see spiritual life. So ultimate good can be done to the society at large. As far as other lessons, we learn so many lessons from each personality. We learn from each of these personalities, like Drona, for example, we learn how liberal a Brahmana is. From Karna also, he was also equally charitable. He gave away his earrings and his bangles, which were from birth. He gave them to Indra when he was asked in charity. So like that, there are many good qualities of these personalities also that we can learn from. They're extremely powerful personalities, all of these. And we don't find people like this in Kali Yuga. But still, it gives us a glimpse of the background in which the Bhagavad Gita is set. By giving all these details, Ved Vyasji has made sure that none of us are sleeping. He has made sure that we are all attention. With all these powerful personalities coming, clashing together, such horrible vows, horrible killing, so much violence going on, and we are all riveted in attention. What is going to happen now? Who is going to die next? How will it happen? How will the Pandavas regain their throne? And in the midst of all this, Krishna is speaking the Bhagavad Gita philosophy. On the battlefield of Kurukshetra, no one's mind was wandering. Everyone's mind was fixed on a battle. So similarly, here also in the battle of life, when we are battling against the forces of Maya, we should not let our mind wander. We should let it be fixed on our spiritual pursuit, our spiritual goal, so that we can achieve the ultimate success in life. Right. The battle started after Gita was over, and all the time that the Gita Pravachan was going on by Lord Krishna, all the soldiers were hearing patiently. Can you imagine such a scene today? First of all, two armies will never stand facing each other. They will both be trying to hide and make sure they are not seen by the enemy. And even if they are standing face to face, nobody will have the courtesy to wait. But Krishna and Arjuna were right there standing. And they were watching this whole conversation going on for whatever time it took. It may have taken 1 hour, 1.5 hours, 2 hours. For whatever time it took, they were all silent. Even Duryodhan was there. He was also watching and hearing.
But then what is told in Gita, probably it will everybody hearing. Then everybody came to know that he was Lord Krishna. So that would rather demoralize the opposite party.
The question is that if Bhagavad Gita was spoken openly, then the enemy camp would know that Krishna is directly Supreme Lord, so that would demoralize the Kauravas.
many amongst them knew that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. But they also knew that the battle of Kurukshetra was a war of dharma. It was the Lord's plan, and they had to fit into that plan by playing their particular roles. So Drona was playing his role in the whole drama. Bhishma was playing his role. Each of the characters was playing his role. That's the first point. Second point, it is just like Bhagavad Gita is available for everyone to read.